Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
10 minutes ago, I met you, and we murmured our how do you do's. I wanted to ring out the bells and fling out my arms and to sing out the news. I have found her, she's an angel, with the dust of the stars in her eyes. We are dancing, we are flying, and she's taking me back to the skies.
Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Sarah LaDuke. Rodgers and Hammerstein's Cinderella is on Broadway for the first time. The beloved musical with its signature songs Impossible, In My Own Little Corner, and Do I Love You Because You're Beautiful, to name a few, was written for television and hasn't had a production on the Great White Way until now. With a new book by Douglas Carter Bean, Cinderella is directed by Mark Brokaw and stars Laura Osnes as Ella, Victoria Clark as her dotty to dazzling fairy godmother, Harriet Harris as her puffed up and pernicious stepmother, and Santino Fontana as Topher, the prince conflicted on his way to charming. Santino Fontana's Broadway credits include The Importance of Being Earnest, A View from the Bridge, Brighton Beach Memoirs, Billy Elliot the Musical, and Sunday in the Park with George. In 2012, he earned an Obie Award for his work in the original off-Broadway production of Sons of the Prophet. I spoke with Santino backstage at the Broadway Theater in New York City a few weeks ago. Santino Fontana, welcome to the Roundtable.
Thank you for having me. Happy to be here.
How did you know, when did you know that you wanted to pursue a career in the theater?
I think I didn't know that I really wanted a career in it until probably towards the end of high school. I realized it's kind of what I was thinking about the most. And I wouldn't say necessarily a life in the theater, but I wanted to be able to continue to do what I was doing at the time, which was a lot of like performing, but also creative stuff with friends. So I knew I wanted to do that. And that just took me to the next step.
Where did you study?
I went to school at the Guthrie's Actor Training Program with the University of Minnesota, which at the time was the first, I was in the first group ever.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so that was a while ago now, but yeah, in Minneapolis.
And you worked at the Guthrie Center a lot afterward and at Chautauqua. How is that different from working in New York?
I went to Chautauqua for 2 summers during school at the Guthrie. So I would go away, so I would spend time at Minneapolis at university and at the Guthrie, and then I would go away for a couple summers. I did Shakespeare and stuff out at Chautauqua, which was a great experience. And that, you know, it's different than New York in that, well, Chautauqua was its own complete, you know, it's its own thing, which was great and I loved it. But it was very different from what I was doing in Minneapolis. And Minneapolis was a great theater town. It has the most theaters per capita, I think, other than New York or Chicago or something like that. But, you know, in Minneapolis, if you were in the union and you were looking for work, every audition was a very big deal because there weren't that many contracts that you could access. Whereas in New York, you know, if you have a bad audition, there's another one hopefully very, very soon. Or at least they're out there to try and get. So there's a lot more, just the opportunity is so much huger. That's the biggest difference.
I know that you were working here for a while before I first saw you, but I first saw you in The Importance of Being Earnest.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
And then not long thereafter, Sons of the Prophet.
Right, yeah, that was right after. Right after.
And I wanted to ask you about those two experiences, recognizing they're very different. It seemed like you were having such a great time as Algernon in The Importance of Being Earnest. Was that true, were you?
Yes, I was. Well, that's Algernon. I mean, that's his job. He's a hedonist. He's a progressive hedonist, I would say. So he's always, you know, he's trying to rewrite the rules as he goes. And the only rule that he's really sticking to or was sticking to was to enjoy himself as much as possible. And that was a great opportunity to get to play a character like that. Because any dramatic weight is not your job. Your job is literally to, anytime I would feel like, oh, I'm tired today or I don't know what I'm going to do, I just would remember what Brian Bedford, our director, also would tell me. Your job is to have the time of your life every second. That's your job. That's all you want. So that was a great kind of life lesson to be able to just flip a switch like that and really, okay, I'm going to enjoy myself.
And then in Stephen Karam's Sons of the Prophet, you originated that role.
Yeah,
Had you originated a role before?
Yeah, I guess I did some stuff in Minneapolis that was original. I've been in the original casts of several revivals or things that had been in America for the first time. I'm trying to think. But of a new play in New York? No, that was my... Well, no, that's not really true. That's the biggest one, yes, that I did that. Yes, it was the biggest production of a role that I originated. Yes.
And then you won an Obie Award for that.
I did. I was very lucky and very happy to be recognized by all the awards people. Lortel Awards and stuff. Yeah, it was great. It was great.
And then I recognize that I am talking to you about your career that you know more about than I do through my frame of reference from what I've seen. But I didn't know, just for lack of research, that you could sing until I saw you at New York Stage and Film last summer.
Oh, you saw that? Oh, so you were there. What? Oh, God, what was that? Oh, Fortress of Solitude,
yes.
Right? Yes. Oh, that was fun. Yeah, no, I was, that's a big thing. When I went to school, I really wanted to keep the singing separate. And because all it was just acting, it wasn't a musical theater program, and it was a classical theater program, really. So a lot of Shakespeare and a lot of classical texts. And I was very hesitant. I did the Fantastics in New York, so I sang in that, but that was a long time ago. And then I made kind of a conscious decision to not focus on the singing as much, because there are so many musicals in New York, and which is a great thing, but I wanted to be able to get my foot in the door in straight plays. So it was a very conscious decision. And it was not how I was trained. I always studied voice on the side, but I was very conscious and specific about making it on the side. So choosing to do a musical was a big, you know, it's a big decision. It's also a big commitment. It uses your body in a whole different way. And it's a great thing. And I'm glad I got to find this one to be able to do this. But yeah, no, I'm very, that was my big joke about my friends at New York Stage and Film. Typically, in past years, I've gone up several summers now, and I typically do like a reading of a play or a workshop of a play and then a workshop of a musical. And I always tell the people who go up there, don't tell people I sing. Don't remind them. Because there's so many more musicals than plays in New York, especially on Broadway. I mean, it's, you know, 80%, I'd say, musicals. That ends up being the only thing that you hear about. And then you're like, oh, God, I just want to play a person who talks. Yeah.
But your voice is so good.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. I study with a great teacher here in the city, Joan Lader. And I've had great teachers. And I love to sing. And Robin Goodman, who produced Sons of the Prophet, I was just fooling around singing in a tech rehearsal, which are long days at the theater. Mm-hmm. And I was just singing something, you know, stupid. And she said, you know, you should sing again. I was like, I'd be open to singing again. And then she gave me the script.
For Cinderella.
Yeah, for Cinderella while we were in tech. And she said, I want you to read this. And that was it. And then I was singing like 10 minutes ago in the dressing rooms, like joking around with the, you know, it was very funny. But no, I'm glad that she brought it to me, and I'm glad that I could sing it. Because it's great. It's great to be able to sing this music. And I'm not asked to do that very often. Or at least I haven't been.
This musical is, of course, Rodgers and Hammerstein. And then the other thing that I saw you in, I'm inserting myself too much into this interview.
No, please.
But is a new musical, and the styles are very different. There's classic American musical, which this is, gorgeously.
Yeah.
And then the newer stuff, which has a, not that they all sound the same, new musicals, but they have a different sound. Is there a different way to prepare, a different way to sing, a different challenge to doing this music versus newer music?
Yeah, well, Fortress of Solitude, the show that you're talking about, Michael Friedman wrote the music to that. He also wrote the music to Bloody Bloody Andrew Jackson. He wrote the music for Love's Labor's Lost, which is going to be in the park this summer. And he's much more, he's a contemporary, he's like a pop writer. I mean, I would say the music I was singing, he's not a pop writer, I shouldn't say that. But he...
not if he wanted to talk to you again.
Yes, his music has more, much. It's not legit at all. And again, I think that goes back to, I've spent my whole life, I think, trying to avoid an identity and by adopting other people's. And so the last thing I want to do is for me to only sing one way. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I love when people come and see this and they are either surprised that I sing or they don't recognize me at the stage door, which happens all the time. Or they're like, who do you play? Were you the raccoon? I was like, no, I was the prince. You were not the prince. That happens all the time. But people that I've sung jazz before in different events, and people are surprised when they come to this, and they're like, "Oh, you sound like, you know, a legit, like an old school." I was like, "Oh, that's good. We want that. That's what we're going for." So, I feel like variety is the spice of life, or at least I try to make it.
I saw this the other night, and your comic timing, I think, is not to like blow your head up before you have to go on stage.
You have to come back and just hang out. You should just be in every audience of every show I do.
Well, right. Apparently I'm attempting that without plotting it.
The last couple of years, yeah.
But your timing is so good, I think, your comic timing. Is that something that came naturally to you? Were you like a funny kid? Or have you had to hone it and watch, you know, I don't know how you learn timing like that.
I think, again, I think being immersed in, I was an obsessive kid, I would say. And I'm going to say an obsessive adult. My grandfather, who's a huge influence on me, he, as a kid, he would go to Blockbuster and just rent movies and play them for me. And then he would just rewind them and play them again. Because I don't think he knew what to do with me. But that was a great thing for me because I loved it. And I remember, comedic-wise, I used to take the Abbott and Costello, Who's on First? And I had an audio tape of it back in the day. And I would literally I'd be writing down the text. I don't know why, in case, you know, someone needed the script of Who's on First. But I would listen to it so much that it becomes those rhythms and stuff. It all just becomes ingrained in you. And also, I mean, it's very funny. When I was in high school and I started doing plays, and I never wanted to do the drama. I always wanted to do, I said, only comedies or musicals. That's all I'm interested in. It was in high school. And I would play baseball during when they would do the dramas. And also, I was always, you know, I don't know. I was always the, I wouldn't say I was the class clown, but I was always the, I love bringing people together. Mm-hmm. And I find humor to be one of the most human ways to do that. And it's great. It's great fun. And my family's very funny. So I think we were always, but no, again, I mean, the last things that you saw me in were not, oh, Ernest is funny. Right. But Sons of the Prophet definitely isn't. Fortress of Solitude, I was not funny. But no, so it's great to be in. I think what Doug has done, which is what's so great, is this is a
Douglas Carter Bean.
Douglas Carter Bean, yeah, the writer, is that he's created a romantic comedy out of something that was really in the past, the Rodgers and Hammerstein versions, was really more of a romance and a more dramatic romance. And he's, I think, very smartly made this a romantic comedy. And it's funny. And if you let it be, you know.
Oh, yeah. No, I have what my mother calls an over-loud laugh. She elbows me when we go to the theater. But I enjoy things and I laugh loudly. But the little girl in front of me when I saw Cinderella was giving me the half turn.
Really?
What is wrong with this woman scream laughing? Yeah. I was like, I don't want to ruin it for this kid, but I don't know how to be quieter.
But that's because, and that's interesting, because what we're realizing as we run the show, kids, the humor works on a couple levels. The whole show works on several levels, that kids are able to get the magic and the romance of it and the spectacle of it, and that's there. And adults are able to get Douglas Carter Bean's sense of humor that doesn't detract from what the kids are picking up, and the adults are able to get both. So we can tell, I have the first line of the show, the first spoken line of the show, and I can tell, and it's a funny line. It's also kind of the reason I wanted to do the show, because as soon as I read it, I was like, oh, okay, yes, this is going to be fun. This will be fun. And it's what Pixar movies have been doing and Disney cartoons have been doing for years. They're taking old stories that everybody knows, they're adding a contemporary sense of humor to it while keeping the romance there. And I think Doug is very smart to bring that to Broadway, because we haven't really had that. And I think he does it really well. So I'm happy to be a part of that.
Have you worked with Laura, Vicky, or Harriet before?
I've done readings with everyone but Harriet. But Harriet worked with my girlfriend on a show. She played her mother-in-law. So I knew her through that. And I've always been a fan of all of theirs. And Laura and I had played love interests in a reading that we did a couple years ago of a musical. But no, otherwise, I'd never worked with any of them.
Do you know how long you do this?
Well, hopefully, as long as, you know, people keep coming. We're all going to be here for a while. Happily for a while. I mean, the audiences really love it. It's a very unique experience to be in something that's so fun to do and is clearly bringing so much happiness to so many people. That's rare.
Santino, thank you very much for making the time to speak with me today.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Santino Fontana plays Prince Topher in Rodgers and Hammerstein's Cinderella at the Broadway Theater in New York City. Earlier this week, Cinderella earned 2 Drama League Award nominations and 8 Outer Critics Circle nominations, including one for Santino Fontana. To learn more about the show, visit CinderellaOnBroadway.com. The cast recording will be released by Shish Kaboom Records on June 4th.
Do I love you because you're beautiful? Or are you beautiful because I love you? Am I making believe I see in you a girl too lovely to be really true? Do I want you because you're wonderful? Or are you wonderful because I want you? Are you the sweet invention of a lover's dream? Or are you really as beautiful as you seem?
I'm Sarah LaDuke, and you're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.